Well, good morning and welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw, and I'm so glad you're up and at it and back and better than ever this morning. Thank you so much for choosing to be here. We're back to our normal format, two mastermind conversations in one. On the front end, it's a Friday, so we're going to play Next Objection, which you all have mastered. I mean, you have figured this out. You got your hands up and you're asking great objections that are real and authentic that are happening, and then we're getting really great answers back. So I know that you're doing great on that. So we're playing Next Objection today. Then at the top of the hour, we talk about something that's on my mind. So in about 20 minutes or so, and here's what's on my mind. You guys are a little anxious. You're a little anxious. We noticed this at advance for those who that were at advance, and you have agents that are in two buckets right now. Some of you have had amazing years, great success, really happy with your results, but you're anxious about, can I do it again? There's this anxiety of, what if it doesn't happen again in 2026? The other bucket is the agent who didn't have the year they wanted. Things were slower than they thought. They're nervous and they're curious about, is it going to be like this again next year? What am I doing wrong? Why is it not working? There's anxiety on both sides. You get anxious when you succeed. You get anxious when you don't get the results you want. And I want us to bring us back. Let's just bring it back a little bit and get focused on the things that matter. So we're going to do that at the top of the hour. But right now we're going to focus on your skill because I think that's really important. We're going to focus on your skill and help you get better. And we're going to play Next Objection. Now here's how it works. I say next objection, and you give us a normal objection that you would hear. Don't get too cute. Some of you like to get cute with weird. Don't do that. I don't want weird objections. I'll kick you out of the call. Okay, I'll just kick you out if it's dumb. But give us a great normal objection you're getting, and then we'll take the top three objection handlers off of the board. Now, here's the way I look at the objection handler opportunity. I hope you raise your hand and totally just bomb. Like, I want you to raise your hand and literally give us the worst objection handler of all time. And I want you to do that here in Next Objection so you don't do it out there with your client. And so some of you are like, oh, I don't want to raise my hand because I don't want to raise your hand. Raise your hand. Now's your chance to look bad and be wrong. That's the whole point. Ricardo, Next Objection.
What's up, my man? Good morning, everybody. I really want to buy a house, but I'm moving to Charleston and I want to rent first because my credit score is 620 and I don't think that I have a good credit to buy a home.
All right. So there's a couple objections in there actually we could do. There is, I'm just moving here and I want to rent first. And then there's, I don't think my credit's good enough, right, to buy. Ricardo, can we break it down into both of those? Can we do both of those? Is that cool with you?
Cool with me, baby.
All right. So we're going to do the rent first one. Like, I'm just moving to town, and I think I want to rent first before I do anything else. Chris, are you ready to overcome that one?
I was going to lean into both directions.
Well, then take it away, buddy. Go right ahead, friend.
Okay, good. So that's a valid point and you know, a good thought, and I want you to be sure about what you're moving into. Situation wise, how about this? How about we have you talk to one of my preferred partner lenders who can really analyze your total situation besides just your estimate on what your credit score might be? And let's see what your options truly are. And you can make a better and a more informed decision.
Ricardo, you got to role play with him. Can you come off mute, buddy?
That definitely sounds good. Can you tell me about, like, are there programs or anything like that? Or, you know, I'm moving from New York like everybody else, and I'm just ready to get into something and, you know, try to find something quick. So what are your suggestions before me get my credit pulled? Is it going to be a hard pull? I don't want my credit pulled from everywhere.
Well, okay. So that part of it can be a soft pull. And so it's not going to affect you, but, more importantly, this is about, you asked about programs, and boy, in my experience, there's a program for everyone. And the way we figure out what best fits you is to have a conversation with one of my preferred lender partners, who just, they do this every day, and they're top-notch people, And they're gonna lay out for you maybe multiple programs that offer you different options on payment versus down payment versus any number of things versus assistance. I promise you there's a program for you. We just have to find it, and that requires a little more in-depth conversation with somebody who does that every day.
It's pretty good. Chris, we're gonna stop it right there, buddy. Nice job. Benny, you got your hand up. You ready to overcome the objection?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go. And then we need one more. We need one more hand to come up too. Let's go, Benny. We got 700 people on the call, so we got people to overcome it. Go ahead, Benny.
Ricardo, listen, I hear people say this all the time. And man, listen, you're not as bad off as what you think. I love working with new construction. You're saying that your credit score is at 620. You can get financed as low as 580, actually. And you also have so many incentives. If you have down payment concerns, you have down payment assistance that can help you out. So that can, you know, help you to be able to cross that goal of becoming a homeowner. So I don't know what you were thinking.
I mean, that all sounds good. And I would love new construction at the same time. A lot of these homes are just cookie cutters. So like the houses that have been built since COVID, they're not built like they used to be. So I'm just worried that something's going to be wrong with the house.
Well, you know, you have, I'm pretty sure across the board, you got 10-year structural warranty on the homes. You got about a year for your plumbing and a year for your electrical. So, you know, that would cover that. You shouldn't be too concerned about that.
All right. And everything that I look at, it looks like everything is in HOAs. I don't want an HOA. I have 3 kids. I have 5 cars in the home. Like, can we park on the street? And I don't want people telling me what to do.
Well, listen, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. So with HOAs, you know, they vary. Not all communities have large HOAs. And then think about what you have in the HOAs to keep all the cars, you know, having a neighbor that have all the cars on the driveway, on the road, and you got kids running around, they keep the community kept and everything, you know, looking decent. So that's a benefit to that. So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
Listen, Benny's going, he is an objection machine right here because Ricardo just keeps tossing them at him. Benny, thank you for raising your hand. I appreciate it. Nisi, you get the last one with Ricardo, who says he just thinks he wants to rent first and he's worried about his credit score. Nisi, good morning.
Oh, Ricardo, I definitely understand. Let me ask you, besides your credit score, is there any other reason that would stop you from buying a home?
I just don't have 20% to put down on a home right now.
Got it. About how much do you have to put into the transaction?
I think I got about $8,000, maybe.
Okay, excellent. Are there any specific areas that you're interested in moving to?
It has to be good schools for my kids. My kids are 3 and 7. Both me and my wife work. So we're going to need to find an academy or a small school for my 3-year-old and a good school for my daughter.
Perfect. So if we could get you in a house with your current credit score with about $8,000 in cash, and we could find those good school systems for your 2 kids, would you be interested in purchasing?
Definitely.
Nisi Draper just showed up. I mean, that's how it's done right there. Nisi, you've been practicing.
That's what I do for a living, James.
I was going to say, and she's getting paid now. Nisi's getting paid again, which is good. But the thing about it is, Nisi, how important is it that you do what you did off the top, which is isolate the objection? Because you asked him about credit, and then he gave you a second thing, which he was also worried about down payment. So we got to isolate and then just keep going with the questions and helping him see possibilities. That's what you did, Nisi. How important is that?
All right. And kind of like let him talk, right? So I can understand his story. So instead of me coming off trying to sell him, like try to understand what's important to him, what are his concerns, let him know I'm listening to you. And if we can satisfy all those concerns, are you ready to go? So let's do it.
I'm proud of you, Niecy. Well done. I'm proud of everybody who raised their hand, and Chris and Benny and everybody who did it on that one. Well done. We are playing Next Objection. We play this every Friday at 7:30 Eastern. We play Next Objection, where you have a chance to give us a real-life objection you're hearing, and then we take three objection handlers. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk about what I emailed and texted you about this morning. So if you got my text and email, excuse me, and said, I think you need to be on today's call, give us another 13 minutes and we'll get to that. But first, another objection. Fiona Owens, next objection. Good morning.
Good morning. So I don't want to lower the price of the house anymore, because then I'm not going to have any room for negotiation if they want like a, you know, credit or something, or if they want closing costs.
Okay, I don't want to lower the price anymore. Oh, we've been hearing that, and I know you've all been overcoming it. So who are going to be the three people that are going to raise their hand and be willing to overcome this objection with Fiona? Tyler, you're up first, buddy. Good morning.
So what I hear you saying is you don't want to lower the price because you want to leave room for negotiation. Aside from lowering the price, is there anything else that would stop you from moving forward with getting your home sold?
Well, that's pretty much it. We need enough money to make it to the next chapter. So, you know, we got to have a certain amount of money to move.
Gotcha. And remind me, what is important about the next chapter?
Well, we're moving, you know, we're moving back to our home country. So, and we're trying to do it quickly because there's some credits being offered for us to move back before the end of the year.
Outstanding. So timing is really important to you, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I've found is we can price a home in one of two ways. We can price it for negotiation, or we can price it for competition. And what the market's telling us right now is that none of the buyers are accepting the price that we're currently listed at. So in order to get you back to your home country in a timely manner so you can achieve those credits that you're looking for, let's go ahead and effectively price the home where it needs to be so we can attract the buyers that are interested in purchasing the home to get you to your goal today. Does that sound like a win for you that you're ready to take action on right now?
I think so.
Oh, good. That was good, Tyler. I only heard part of it. My internet went out for a minute, but I'm sure whatever you said was genius. I appreciate it, Tyler. People are nodding their heads. Well done. Telly, you get the next one with Fiona. Fiona, get ready. Telly, here you go.
Okay, so Fiona, from what you're telling me, you don't want to go any lower on the price because you want to have room for negotiation. Is that correct?
Right, because, I mean, we've already dropped it, what, three times now? So I don't want to drop it anymore.
Okay. Is there anything else by any chance that's having you hesitant or nervous right now with getting the home sold?
Anything else that has me nervous? No, yes. Other than it not selling.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, having the home sold, which is more important, how much you get for it or the timeliness that it's sold?
I would have to say both, because we need a certain amount to be able to move.
I can understand, you know, that it can be tricky, especially with the market sometimes. Now, and the big thing is this. We can only price and test the waters, the market, compared to our other comparables. So if we have our house similar to other homes that are on the market, and yet we're not getting any offers, and we haven't had your home sold yet, what is the market telling us?
Maybe that is too high, I guess.
Yeah, I would have to agree. So what we need to do in order to get your home sold so that we can get you on to your next goals and destinations, we need to adjust the price of your home to that of the competition of the market, or otherwise we're going to be talking about this a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now. How would that make you feel if your home is not sold and you're still here in a couple of weeks and we're still talking like this?
Not good at all.
All right. So you agree we got to get it dry. We got to adjust it to the price of the market?
Okay. But maybe this will be the last time.
I'll do my darndest.
That's good. Well done, Telly. We're doing a great job on these. Bonnie, and then we're going to get a bonus because Anna Kruger's hand is up. So we're going to get Bonnie or Anna Kruger too. So we're going to get a bonus one today. Bonnie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Fiona. So you were telling me that getting back to your home country in a timely manner is really important to you guys. And you mentioned some credits that you're going to be getting, and that's why timing was important. Tell me a little more about that.
So our country is offering, the government is offering, where you don't have to pay taxes on the things that you bring in if you move in, if you move before the end of the year.
Oh, wow. Do you have an idea about how much that's going to mean for you if you can get in before the end of the year financially?
I haven't calculated it exactly, but I know that it, you know, we won't have to pay for like all of our furniture and all those things. Like we won't have to pay taxes on that. So I assume it's a good amount.
Yeah, I assume that it is. And I can see why that's important to you. So, you know, I understand that you want to leave some room for negotiation. But the fact that right now we're not even getting the showings for your home at the current price point, would you agree that we're not even getting the opportunity to negotiate where we are today?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Nobody's got their hand up, right? And that's the challenge. I would love to get you in a position where we can negotiate with somebody. And while I know this was not our original plan to price at this price point, unfortunately, the market's a lot like the stock market. It goes up and down all the time. And my job is to get you where the buyers are so that we can get you the opportunity to negotiate and get sold. And I just don't want to miss this opportunity for you to get those credits on the back end. I see how if we wait too long, it might actually cost you more than the adjustment we're talking about. Can you see that?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. So would you agree that the market's answering us right now with silence? And what we want is to get you moved. And to do that, we need to get some feet in the door. So I feel like, and I want to know what you think, getting you at a price point where we might get some folks coming through the door would be a stronger strategy to ultimately help you save a little more money than what we're looking at this reduction.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan? Can we try that out and see if we can get a response from the market, get some opportunities to negotiate at least?
I guess we can give it one more try.
All right. There
we
go.
I appreciate
another
that,
one.
Fiona.
Well done. We're going to get a bonus from Anna Kruger. I'm proud of everybody. And I'll tell you, I'm really proud of what's going on in the chat too, because those of you that, you know, we're only going to get three people in. There's both, those of you are also putting ideas in the chat, which I love. But Anna Kruger had her hand up, and we've got to go to her because she's our expert on this. So many of you are in her program. If you're not in her program, you should probably get in her program, especially if you're nervous to raise your hand. It means you may not be super comfortable on what to say. But Anna, what's on your mind?
Yeah, this is great. You guys are doing a great job. I'd love for her to anchor it by saying the objection again, and I'll jump in.
All right, Fiona, give us the objection, and Anna will take over.
Sure. So we don't want to drop the price anymore. We've already dropped it three times, and we got to have a certain amount to be able to move. So I don't want to drop it anymore.
Okay. Well, Fiona, first of all, I really appreciate you being honest with me. That's all that I ask, and I really appreciate it. So you don't want to drop the price again because you need a certain amount. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What's the certain amount that you need for this to be workable for you?
Well, we need at least $200,000 profit.
Okay. And what is important specifically about the $200,000 profit?
To be able to relocate to our home country and to be able to live comfortably when we get there.
Okay. Pause. I also feel a tension of if this was my actual client, I should already know that. It's good to know. So you want to relocate to your home country. And I'm curious, what research have you done or how did you land on the 200,000 being the number that you absolutely must have?
I can't say I've done a lot. It just seems like that's a reasonable number, I guess. We haven't exactly done specific research on it.
Okay. I can completely appreciate that. There's a lot to navigate when you're trying to move, so I can understand. So I think what I'm hearing you say, Fiona, is you don't want to drop it again, but that's primarily because you want to make sure that you have enough money to move back home. And
absolutely.
It sounds like we might have some research to do there to find out what that number is. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So here's what I'm thinking. I think, and I'm happy to partner with you on this, I'd love to find out what it would take practically to get you to the back home where you want to be and exactly how much money you need so we can make sure that we make that happen for you and we know what we're really dealing with pricing here. So let's make that our next step. And then I would go do that.
So good.
Okay.
How good? This was the best next objection we have ever played in the history of the game. It's been three times. And I'm just so proud. We had two very good objections. We had seven great objection handlers. Fiona, I'm just curious, as you did those role plays, and I'm sorry I didn't ask Ricardo the same question earlier. I should have, but I'll make sure I do that moving forward next week. But Fiona, I'm curious about what was your takeaway from the three role plays you did, and how is this going to help you now moving forward with your client?
Well, I got some, those are some really, really good responses. I love the just breaking it down and figuring out what exactly they need to move, because that's ultimately what I need to know. And then there was another one. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the recording. There were so many good ones. So, yeah, this helped tremendously.
It's really great. I'm really proud of you for and Ricardo as well for asking great objections that both sound like they're real life things you're experiencing. If you just joined us and you missed all of this, or like Fiona said, she needs to go back. We take all of this and flip it into a podcast same day. Julia usually has that up in the podcast platforms by 10 o'clock Eastern time. So if you missed it or want to go back and listen to it again, 10 o'clock Eastern, you go to Spotify or Apple Podcast or Amazon Music or whatever, and just search Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. While you're there, would you mind subscribing so you never miss a call? And then second, giving it 5 stars if you think it's 5 stars, 4 stars if you think it's worth 4, and so on. I would just really appreciate it. And then another thing you could do is start to share the podcast version with people in your office and your market center who are missing out on the call and maybe would like to experience a little bit of what we're doing. Fiona and Ricardo, thanks for doing the objections, and thanks to everyone who participated in the handler. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you so much for choosing to be here this morning. It is 6:59 Central, 7:59 Eastern. I am live in Chicago today. We're doing an ALC clinic. I get to meet with all the agents in the Mid-American region. My original region when I joined Keller Williams is this one, and so it's fun to be back with them and hanging out. So I'm looking forward to seeing. We'll see Dean Moss will be there, and I know some others as well. So looking forward to hanging out with you today and then back home tonight. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We've had a great call so far. Top half of the call, we played Next Objection. That's our new Friday game, and where you give us an objection, and then we get some handlers to overcome it. It was great today. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook and you missed it, you can go back and find the podcast version wherever you listen to your podcast and go listen to that. Two objections today. A buyer who was worried about his credit score and thought he had to rent first, and a seller who didn't want to drop the price because she thought she needed to net a certain amount. Those are both real objections that you're hearing right now out in the market, and we had seven different objection handlers between the two objections to be able to help you get better, so go back and listen to those. Now, here's where I want to go today. Today, I want to talk about something that kind of stood out to me, and Leah McCann mentioned it to me, and Anna Kruger mentioned it to me, and that is this, there's a sense of nervousness or anxiousness around people's businesses right now. And you're fitting in one of two buckets. Either you're really happy with the result and you're nervous about what 2026 is going to look like, can you do it again sort of attitude, or you aren't super happy with the result and you're nervous that 2026 might be a repeat of 2025. And so we're going to talk about how both of those come from the exact same place and they're both solved the exact same way. And so we're going to talk about those this morning. But before we do that, a couple of tell me something goods. We'll do Terry, Julie, and LaKayla, and then we got to get started because we got a lot to do. Very quickly, Terry, good morning.
Good morning. I would share business good things, but this one trumps it. A week ago Monday, our daughter's boyfriend said he was going to pop the question. And that was really exciting. Now, the kicker was, James, I bought my advance ticket for this year last November. So I was all set to go. And he dropped that sweet bomb on us. So everything changed. But he asked her to marry him last Friday. He did a surprise engagement party on Saturday. So everything changed for me. I know that's going to be the thing that I'm going to remember. But the last couple days you've been sharing about advance, I've been getting a twitch.
Congratulations. This is great news. Now you definitely have to sell some houses because your expenses just went up. But Terry, congratulations to you and your growing family. Julie Hess, good morning.
Good morning. First of all, thanks, James, for a great event. That was a lot of fun. Lots of good notes. It was great. Just wanted to share that we had our Blessing Basket event last night. And so this year we were kind of curious as how it would go, because we know that, you know, there's a lot of people in need and a lot of people holding back. And our goal was 100 and we are up over 121. They just kept coming. We had over 100 people last night, and it was just amazing how many people are so generous. And they're like, what are you doing for Christmas? I said, we're resting. We're going to rest. But thank you to Ellie. And it was a great event. And you know what? I just, you know, when I was there last night, it just reminded me that things are good. There's no reason to be nervous or concerned. You know, we just keep pushing forward. And last night proved it. You know, we were concerned we'd get 100 and we have about 121, 22. So it was
awesome. That's really good. Hey, Ellie, real quick, you introduced this to us a couple of years ago. I'm just curious about how it makes you feel when you hear the impact that it's having across the country, Julie getting 121 baskets. Ellie, what's that make you feel?
It's awesome. And I think that we need to keep the movement going of it. And we need to talk more about the fact that this is not just a very nuclear event, but it is nationwide. And looking forward to seeing the final count at the end for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I put the link in the chat for the playbook on Blessing Baskets. You still have time to run the play. While it's specifically designed to occur right around Thanksgiving, you can do it any time of the year. In fact, Jack Smith, Ellie, was texting us last night about how powerful it is. It's just great to see it happen across the country. Julie, thanks for sharing it too. LaKayla, you get the last one. Good morning.
Good job, Julie, and congratulations, Terry. I just want to jump on real quick. Those of you that know, I have been in the role of caring for my mother, and today is her 91st birthday. So
oh, happy birthday,
if some LaKayla. Of you will put in the chat and I'll show it to her later, that'll
what's your
she'll
mom's
be really
name,
excited
LaKayla?
About that.
LaKayla, what's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Ruby.
Ruby. Happy birthday to Ruby. 91, you said?
91.
Oh, that is a joy. That is so fun. Enjoy that time with Ruby today. And happy
Thank
birthday.
You. Thank
and
you.
And Ruby, you should be proud of LaKayla. She's pretty awesome.
So yeah, I'll make sure she'll hear that part, James.
Send her the recording. I know she's got her Spotify ready to listen to the podcast. That's what Ruby does, listens to the podcast every day. Longtime listener, first-time caller. All right, let's get after it today. Listen. First of all, it was great to see the 400 of you that came to advance. It's great to see the nearly 1,000 of you who are on this call this morning. It is just great to see the 125,000 of you that participate in what we do inside of Pivot Shift Ahead every day. It is great to see the 1,400 of you that are part of the Inspire Collective. You are all committed to growing and getting better. You have a growth mindset. You're purposeful. You're a high achiever. High achievers get on calls like this. Low achievers don't. So I commend you and I applaud you, but I want to remind you that your value and your worth is not tied to your productivity. However many homes you sell doesn't determine the value you bring to this space. And I heard Leah and Anna and I talked about this. Leah and Anna and I meet every couple of weeks just to check in, because Leah's doing our one-on-one coaching, Anna's doing our group coaching, and I'm leading Pivot and Inspire. And we just go, what are the messages that we're hearing? And we all were in agreement that agents right now are sitting in two buckets. A, they are excited and overjoyed about the productivity they've had this year, but that is not bringing them happiness, bringing them anxiety. Anxiety about, can they do it again? What's next year going to be like? What's going to happen next? Can they keep this going? Do they want to keep it going? It reminds me of the year that we were number one in KW. Back in 2006, when I joined Keller Williams in 2005, and in 2006, I was on a seventh level team and I was doing the sales side of the operation of that team. And our team, Little Crown Point, Indiana, was the number one team in all of Keller Williams. Now, all it took back then was 444 units to do that, but there were 60,000 agents in KW at that time and we were number one. Gary was coaching us, it was great. And I remember talking to Jana, who was the rainmaker, thinking how exciting this is, right? We have our MREA medallion. She's the number one agent in the entire brand, and she didn't look overly excited. And I said, what's going on? And she's like, I just wonder if we can do it again. Now, she's had great business. She's had great business every year ever since, too. She's not always number one, but she's had a great business. And then I meet people that, man, they had big plans going into the year, and for whatever reason, it didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to. Could have been something happened, or maybe something didn't happen, and they just overestimated their ability or opportunity. Or something did happen where they had to pause and take care of mom or something like that. Who knows? And that person goes into the new year wondering, can I do it again? I took some notes on this, right? That both of you feel anxious. And both groups tend to think that their struggle is unique and isolated to just them. But the truth is, that's normal. The anxiety that comes with the business around this year is normal, and it's predictable. Put it in the chat. How many of you have felt anxiety going into a new year before? Put it in the chat. I'm just curious. Because what's going on in your business and in the market can create, you know, these emotional extremes. Here's what happens. I just wrote down some stuff that I think happens to agents who had a great year. Agents who had a great year. This is not all of you, and you don't necessarily experience all of these feelings. But these are some things you could experience. I got lucky. This is just a year I got lucky. I happen to have somebody that did a really big deal. I think of Aaron Nelson, who started off the year with like a $7 million deal, and Aaron's going, well, maybe I just got lucky. I don't know. Maybe you're just good. So there's this thought, maybe I got lucky. Or there's pressure to repeat that production or beat what they did last year. And they put this unnecessary pressure on themselves. They're worried that they don't have the same energy or bandwidth or opportunities next year. Or they're concerned the market might change and rip this out from underneath them. Those are the notes I wrote down for the agents who had a great year. Now, here's what I wrote down that an agent who didn't have the year they thought they would have. Maybe they're reflecting on the year and they didn't think it was so great. Here's the emotions that they might have. They may feel like they wasted their time or money or an opportunity this year. They worry that the gap is widening between them and their peers who are successful. They might be afraid that their productivity this year says something about them personally, like about their ability or their identity or something. Or they even doubt if they're, quote, cut out for the business. Now, here's where I think this comes from. If you notice, all of these feelings are driven by outcomes. We're looking at our results and allowing that to determine how we feel. Because those outcomes, that's what's driving the emotion, is the outcome. And when your outcome is really high, your productivity is really good, you have a fear of losing it. When your outcome or your productivity is low, you have a fear of staying there. Both are driven by fear based on outcomes. Well, we are not outcome focused in this community. What is our focus? Put it in the chat. We have said it over and over and over again. We are not outcome-focused people. We are process-focused people. And when we remove an attachment from outcomes, then the fear goes away. We've got to shift from an outcome focus to a process focus. And that, when you do that, it removes the judgment about great success or results that you're disappointed in. You don't get this pressure of repeating if you had a great year because you know your process works. You have clarity around the process. A tough year doesn't identify who you are because you know you can adjust and change your process. See, when you're an outcome-focused person, that leads to high emotion, which leads to high anxiety, which ultimately leads to instability. But when you focus on process, you create almost a peace that you know that you have a process you can follow, and if you're not getting the result you want, all you do is adjust your process. In here, in Pivot and in Inspire, we look forward, not backward. Now, we look backward for a moment so we know what worked and what didn't and made the adjustments. I did a whole call on that a couple weeks ago. Vicky, we should probably put that back in the newsletter for everybody to watch again. Inspire members, I did a reflection worksheet for you on that so you can reflect on the year. You look backward real quick to find out what worked and what didn't based on your result. But ultimately, we're looking forward. What is our process going to be? What adjustments do I need to make to get the results I want? When you look at outcomes all the time, you remain in judgment longer than you need to be. When we look at process, we see opportunity and areas to focus. An outcome focus leads to comparison. Unnecessarily, because the person you're comparing yourself to doesn't even have the same goals, same process, same systems as you, but a process focus leads to action. So if you are experiencing anxiety around the result, what I'd ask you to do is pause for a minute and say, hold on, wait a minute, something ain't right, because I am all of a sudden getting judgmental about what happened instead of paying attention to what I'm doing. And instead, we're going to go and look and say, what's our process for the year? Now, if you were in advance, we laid that out for you. We laid it out for you where we talked about, well, first, John gave you the momentum. I forget exactly what he called it, but a way to look at your momentum and create momentum and get clarity around what's important to you. He gave you the action ladder. He gave you all that stuff. And here we talk about the lid and figuring out what your lid needs to be so that your goal has purpose and meaning. Because if your goal doesn't have purpose and meaning, it's all made up anyway. And then you take that and dump it into the economic model, and it'll come down and tell you exactly what your process needs to be. And then all you do is you wake up and say, today's Friday. What do I do on Friday? Now, if you're experiencing this, I just know that you are not defined by your productivity. You're not defined by your results. And that all you got to do if you want to have a great year is focus on your process. Let's talk about it. What's on your mind, Miranda? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me talk. And I do not have my camera on because I just got out of the cold tub. So I'm trying to save all of you from that visual. But I wanted to just get on and say, oh my gosh, you just hit the nail on the head. You know, I have done more business every year that I've been in this business, but I will tell you, every year I hate January 1st because I feel like I'm just starting over and oh my gosh, I got to climb that mountain again. And it's like this daunting anxiety. Now, last year I had my best first quarter I've ever had. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so great actually having business in the first quarter. And I looked at what we did, and what we did is we worked really hard in the fourth quarter of 2024, and we had events and we had all these things going on to build momentum. But you're so right. It's I don't need to have this anxiety. Like if I should trust my process. Like I have a good business and I just need to trust that. And we got a new building that's opening. We have our grand opening next week. We have ribbon cutting on Tuesday. Our blessing basket drive is next week. People are so excited about the blessing basket drive in my community. People are like raving about it. They're so excited. So I'm really excited to see what that, you know, result is next Saturday. And then we have our Santa event in December. And I'm just like, okay. Like, and we have business in our pipeline. I loved what you said about about database at advance, where you said is it a pipeline or a pile? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I love that. I got so much good stuff from advance from John Acuff about like the ladder. And like yesterday I had the greatest coaching call with my coach, putting together my GPS, getting it way more specific about things I'm going to do. One of the things I'm going to implement is somebody on the call, I think it was 2 weeks ago, mentioned doing a networking group with like other tradesmen to help them build their business. So you're actually giving value to them. And, you know, with all of the great stuff that I attribute a lot of my success to this call. I mean, a lot. I have learned so much from being on this call and implementing that. I just need to like chill out and trust the process. But I totally get that anxiety. And I absolutely compare myself to other people, which is so stupid. So stupid, but
well, it's natural. I just would tell us it's natural, and we just have to make the decision that we're not going to do it. I do it too. There are other people that do similar things to what I do, and I'll compare and look at that, and we got to go, wait a minute, we're doing a lot of things right over here. Let's just keep focusing on what's working. I'd say those of you that struggle sometimes with process, you've got to get in the Inspire community, because that's what we are all about. Everything we teach is about process, and I've noticed that you know, some of you are, I don't know, but you're evaluating where it is that you need to spend your time and your money. And I would just suggest that this is the best free resource in the industry, in my opinion. And Inspire is the most available paid resource in the industry. The price point is low and the value is extremely high. You just have to choose to jump in and participate in it and implement the strategies and the systems and the processes and the tools that we're teaching you. And when you do that, the anxiety drops. Mark Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, James, and good morning, everyone. It was so awesome meeting you all at Inspire, or excuse me, at Advance. And it was just a great event. Thank you so much for putting it on. My wife and I have, in the last 5 years, really fallen in love with Out West and the hikes and the national parks. And I just wanted to kind of share this visual. I think it totally made sense to me while you were explaining all of this, because I've had my best year ever, and I'm sensing and feeling some of those same emotions that you're talking about and anxiety. In fact, driving to drop my kids off at school this morning, I was thinking about Right. Even before you said it, I was thinking those thoughts, man. What if we don't do it next year? And you know, when you're some of the best views are at the top of the mountain. Like when you're doing these hikes, you know, you're working hard, you're straining to get up, and you get up above the tree line, and you're looking down, and all of a sudden, there's this drop off to just beside you, and you're looking at that. And if you're focusing on that, I remember we went up Humphreys Peak a couple of years ago or last year, and I'm looking over, and I'm starting to get nervous. I'm thinking, man, I'm gonna fall. I'm gonna and if I'm looking over the side of the mountain, thinking, man, what if I were to misstep? The anxiety's there. The body responds. You start getting panicky. But if you just kind of focus on the path, or if you have something you can anchor yourself to, something to hold on to, then man, you feel fine. It's all about what you focus. And so I think that process is that anchor and that focusing on the path. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, but keep after it, because again, the best views are at the top.
It's so true. By the way, someone has cleared the path for you to be able to walk it and follow it, right? The process is not something you're making good. Up along the way. The process has already been created for you and the path is laid for you. And when you go up and do those things, you're just following along the path. Do you know where the path is getting cleared? Right here on this call and in Inspire calls. We're clearing the path as a community, and then you pick up and follow. And it's up to you to go and do that and stay focused and moving in the right direction. We got time for one more, and it's going to be Paul Corey, but I can tell by the number of hands, this is an important conversation. And so we've got more on this. I've planned out about three kind of versions of this call, so we'll continue it Monday morning. So Paul, you get the last word today, and then we'll pick it back up again on Monday.
Thanks, James. Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. And I think that the part that I don't understand is we've been cultured to have this as a marker, like once a year, worry about your business. Like, I think it really should be 52 markers per year. You should be checking in on your business every single week. You should know your numbers. When you are looking at someone else and you're envious about whatever they're doing, well, you don't know the other side of it. You don't know their health. You don't know their expenses. You don't know their other problems. So you can't just look at their revenue and their cheap, and their gross income. So I remember talking to an agent that's top producing in our area that she's just been the number one agent forever. And it was like 8 years ago. She said to me, it was December. I was at a home inspection. She said, I dread January 1st. Now she does 60 million every single year by herself. And I just couldn't wrap my arms around it. But listening to everyone speak, it made me think corporately, we're always thinking about, we're checking in on our business once a year. I think if you're checking on your business, it should be like a conveyor belt that just never ends. Checking on your business every week should be, you know, if you're going to be anxious, fix it.
Make the adjustments you're going to make along the way. In the Inspire Collective, we have a quarterly review worksheet for everybody that you could just adjust to a monthly or weekly. I mean, it's all the same stuff we want to look at to pay attention to. But I want you to hang out with people who are helping you move your pathway forward. Paul, thank you. We'll pick this back up again on Monday. It's clearly an important topic. I thank all of you who joined us today. And thank you to everyone who shared that this was something that was challenging to you, and to Leah and Anna for just reminding me that we've got to be talking about this stuff on a regular basis. So this is what we do in this space, is make sure that we're showing up and supporting you with the challenges you're facing in the moment. Great call today. I appreciate all of you being here. Have a great weekend. Mid-American agents, I'll see you in a bit. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration, and we'll see you Monday. Bye, everybody.